Rat Pack, where you at? On, it's the FTN Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Jeff Ratcliffe, and it is Monday, October 9th, giving you the biggest takeaways.
Doing the radio voice here at the top of the show.
Giving you the biggest takeaways here from Week 5 Fantasy Football. Of course, one game left, but I'm going to highlight Sunday's action for you here. And we're going to dive right in. We will start with the game in London. Another home game, even though they weren't the home team for the Jaguars. And I'll tell you what, jet lag is a powerful thing because the Jags have been there for like 2 weeks. The Bills showed up, and I guess it was like 48 hours before the game. They were tired, and it showed. Jags winning 25-20 on the Jags side. Travis Etienne going off and scored on longer touchdown runs. You know, we didn't have to worry about goal line carries. The first ETN was outside of the goal line region. It was a 6-yard touchdown, so I'll take that. The second one was a 35-yard touchdown. I'll definitely take that. 26 for 136 and 2. Early in the game, Ridley wasn't involved. He ended up being more involved later in the game, and I don't know if that coincided exactly with Zay Jones' knee injury. He did re-aggravate the knee. He did score earlier in the game. But Ridley, after putting up almost nothing in the first half, has a good second half, gets you 19.2 PPR points, 7 for 122. That was nice because it was a big bounce back after three lackluster games in a row. Christian Kirk still involved, 6 for 78 on 8 targets. Not too worried about Evan Ingram. Had 8 targets, and tight end is very frustrating. On the other side, Josh Allen, all said and done, fine for fantasy. It was not his best game, but he goes 359 and 2. Runs for a score as well. Can't really ask for much more than that. As far as the passing production, Stephon Diggs, like usual, 8 for 122 and 1. But how about Gabe Davis? Actually saw 8 targets in this one, hit the century mark, got in the end zone, 6 catches for 100 yards. Of course, James Cook, another down game. Now, I mean, he got nothing going on the ground, 5 for negative 4. He had 3 catches for 25 yards. The good news, he still played the most snaps. If we look at snaps, it was 34 snaps for him, 10 for Latavius Murray, 9 for Damian Harris. So I'm not overly concerned here, even though the performance wasn't what we had hoped it was going to be. On to the next contest. A very entertaining one. I found myself wanting both teams to win, and I realize that's not possible. But Atlanta winning 21-19 over Houston. On the Atlanta side, yeah, your boy showed up, okay? Kyle Pitts. This was what we were waiting for, 7 for 87 on 11 targets. The 11 targets is a really good number. Both he and Drake London dominated the target share here. London with 9. He caught 6 for 78 and honestly looked really good. He had one of the nicer catches you're going to see all season long. Jonnu Smith still putting up numbers, 6 for 67. I'll talk about him tomorrow. Bijan in a down game at least gets you to double-digit fantasy points because he does score as a runner. And I thought this was a rebound performance from Desmond Ridder. On the other side, there were injuries here. Tank Dell left with a concussion. He is in protocol. We had Robert Woods briefly exit with a ribs injury, came back in. Nico Collins faced tough coverage. So don't read too much into the Dalton Schultz line, and also don't get too panicky about the Damian Pierce line. That was the Falcons' run defense is actually very good. That's flown under the radar so far this season, but they are very good. So I'm not panicking too much there. C.J. Stroud continuing to put up decent numbers, 249 and a passing score. Not a great fantasy day, though, for C.J. Stroud. But we did get a great fantasy day from, well, a couple players in Detroit. Detroit beating up on Carolina 42-24. David Montgomery with no Jahmyr Gibbs goes 19 for 108 and a long touchdown. You don't get 42-yard touchdown runs from David Montgomery very often, but we did here. 2 for 20 as a receiver. Of course, the other big player here, Sam Laporta. Little razzle-dazzle play, right? Same exact play got ran on Sunday Night Football by the 49ers, which was interesting. But 3 for 47 and 2 for Laporta. He's officially in elite territory. Awesome. Welcome to the party, Sam. Josh Reynolds without Amon-Ra, 4 for 76 in a score, so he's serviceable when Amon-Ra isn't playing. We'll see if he can get back soon. Jared Goff, man, 236-3. It isn't sexy, but this is a great fantasy week for him because he also had a rushing touchdown as well. On the other side, this was the best we saw out of Bryce Young so far this season. He did toss three scores, 247 passing yards, but he had two picks as well. But his guy is Adam Thielen right now, 11 for 107 and a score. I do think it is worth considering selling high on Adam Thielen. Typically, older players like him do not continue to perform at this level throughout the course of the season. So see what you could get for him. I don't think it's a bad idea. The backfield's a mess. Miles Sanders still obviously isn't healthy. Chuba Hubbard is still Chuba Hubbard. And they were even using LaVisca Chenault this past week. So things even more complicated there. Not fun for fantasy purposes. Moving on to the next contest on my list. Tennessee and Indianapolis, and we'll start on the Tennessee side of things, even though they did lose this game 23-16. But yeah, Tajay Spears. Okay, so he's working his way closer to flex territory. There's no doubt about it. And during the byes, he may be in flex territory some of these weeks. But Derrick Henry's still the lead back, so we're really dealing with a player who has more implied value than anything on that side. So just be careful. Henry still outsnapped him here, 34-31. Spears will get more run in games like this, but you can't always guarantee that the games are going to be like this. DeAndre Hopkins, big game, 8 for 140 on 10 targets. How about Chigakonkwo, though? Only 5 for 33, but 9 targets. This is what we expected. He'd be the number two receiver. There's going to be some value there. We'll talk about him tomorrow. On the other side, two major things, right? First and foremost, Anthony Richardson hurt again. It's being called an AC joint sprain. We heard a grade 3, which means a month or more, he could land on injured reserve. He is seeking a second opinion, though, so we're not going to get ahead of ourselves. We'll talk about Gardner Minshew tomorrow. The other thing, Jonathan Taylor came back and Zach Moss went bananas. So the team just paid out $26.5 million or whatever it is and fully guaranteed to Jonathan Taylor. And Zach Moss makes like $1.1 million. So I don't know. Zach Moss, 165 yards, 2 scores, 23 rushing attempts against a very good run defense. I don't know exactly what they're going to do going forward here. Jonathan Taylor only played 10 snaps. He only had 6 carries. And when you compare the two of them side by side, Zach Moss was superior. I don't know what they're going to do going forward. We'll talk about Josh Downs tomorrow as well, 6 for 97. So he's going to be an interesting one for waivers purposes. Moving on to the next contest, the Giants and Miami. And Miami beating up on the Giants 31-16. We'll start on the Giants side of things where there really isn't that much to talk about, except Darren Waller. That was good. 8 for 86. That's what we've been waiting for. I like it. 11 targets. Otherwise, yeah, no Saquon. Matt Breida was still in the lead, but Eric Gray was used a bunch here. Nobody was particularly effective. Daniel Jones leaves towards the end of the game with a neck injury, although he may not miss time, so we'll check in on that, and we'll talk about that tomorrow for Tyrod Taylor. On the other side, wow, Devon Achane, this is insanity. 11 for 151 and a touchdown. He is the fifth most points in a three-game span by a rookie running back since 1970, 99.8. over that span. First player in NFL history with 100 rushing yards and 10-plus rushing yards per carry in three straight games. It's outrageous. And it isn't just him. Tyreek Hill, 8 for 181 and a score. And by the way, Raheem Mostert, 10 for 65 and a touchdown is not bad. It's just Achane is off the charts. So anyway, Tyreek Hill, 10th career game of 175-plus, second most in NFL history with that category, and get this, 5 of those 10 have come as a Dolphin. He's been on the Dolphins for 22 games. Like, this is insanity, and I am loving every bit of it. We also got Jaylen Waddle working a little bit. Wasn't a huge fantasy week, but he got in the end zone early, 5 for 35, but 10 targets for him. We will see if Jeff Wilson can come back this week, but they are rolling, and Tua's rolling, and everybody's rolling there. Moving on to New Orleans and New England. Not everybody is rolling in New England. In fact, they got shut out 34-0, and here are some stats for you Patriots fans. This was the largest home shutout loss in Patriots history. The Patriots went back-to-back 30-point losses for the first time since 1970, the second largest loss of Bill Belichick's career. The largest was last week. The largest shutout loss largest home loss of Belichick's career. And the Patriots have been outscored 72-3 in their last two games. Yikes. Mac Jones, fourth career pick six at home. That is as many as Tom Brady threw at home in Gillette Stadium. Tom Brady played 134 games at Gillette Stadium. Mac Jones has played 19. Yikes. This is ugly. And I don't think the answer is Bailey Zappi, because he looked probably even worse than Mac Jones, if that's possible. So this is a mess. They had players leave with concussion. Juju was one of them. They have a committee timeshare in their backfield. It's basically 50-50 now. Ramondre Stevenson, 26. Ezekiel Elliott, 23. I'll talk more about Zeke tomorrow. It's ugly. On the other side, it wasn't pretty, but it was good enough. They didn't have to do that much to win this game. Alvin Kamara, 25 touches, went 22 for 80 on the ground, scored a rushing touchdown, had 3 for 17 as a receiver. I'm okay with all those numbers. I actually thought Kendre Miller looked pretty good here, too. We're going to talk about him tomorrow on the show. Derek Carr did enough. You know, he connected with Chris Olave and Foster Moreau on touchdowns. They didn't have to do that much, so I'm not really overthinking this one. Baltimore-Pittsburgh, a game that, I'm sorry, Steelers fans, but Baltimore lost. You know, that's pretty much what they did here. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. They lost 17-10. On the Steelers side, George Pickens going off in that long touchdown at the end of the game to seal the deal was good for fantasy purposes, a 41-yard touchdown. He goes 6 for 130 and a score. We're approaching Deontay Johnson. We're getting closer to him being back, but I still like Pickens a lot going forward. He's not a sell high. The backfield continues to be a mess. Najee Harris, 36 snaps. Jaylen Warren, 32. Write down, I'm telling you, for future you will appreciate this. Avoid running backs in the dead zone, because Najee Harris was one of those running backs this year. And there is a reason for it. There's a reason why I do this. There's a reason why I avoid the dead zone. I don't know which of these guys is going to happen to, but this year there are a few of them, and I've just mentioned two of them, Ramondre and Najee. So it's rough. Jaylen Warren, though, I mean, showing some upside. He's still just flex-worthy, but he's showing some upside. On the other side, Lamar coming off of a two-game, really nice hot streak there for him. No rushing touchdowns, 236, an interception, 45 yards on the ground. Not his best outing, but he does really like Zay Flowers. 5 for 73 on 11 targets. Mark Andrews, not a huge day, but I like these days when you have somebody like Mark Andrews. This is more of like a floor day, 6 for 65 at tight end. That's a nice floor. I had 10 targets here. The backfield, a little bit ugly. Gus Edwards, just, you know, he's a plotter. Justice Hill has upside, but volatility. He did get in the end zone. I'm curious what Keaton Mitchell's going to bring to the table. We'll talk about him on the show tomorrow as well. Philadelphia and the Rams. The score makes this look closer than what it really was, 23-14. The Eagles had this in hand for a good chunk of the second half. They were forced to some field goals, but still big performances here. Jalen Hurts, 303, a passing score, 72 yards on the ground, a rushing score, so elite fantasy numbers there. Connecting with A.J. Brown, third straight game with 125-plus receiving yards for him, 6 for 125. Dallas Goedert, 8 for 117 in a score. That's what people were waiting for. Hopefully he didn't do anything crazy like drop him. But here's the thing. There is only enough meat on the bone for usually two of these guys, not all three. So Devontae Smith, 1 for 6. Guess who I think is going to have a big game next week? Because we saw this with A.J. Brown a couple weeks ago. They didn't get him the ball. All of a sudden, they were getting him the ball. They didn't get Dallas Goedert the ball. All of a sudden, they're getting him the ball. So guess what? Devontae Smith, next man up. So I wouldn't be too panicky there. DeAndre Swift, 23 touches, goes up over 100 scrimmage yards in a game where he doesn't have a rushing touchdown. Still get you a good outing here for PPR purposes. 18, 17 points, give or take? I'm doing it in my head here. Right around 17 points. Rock solid. Rock solid. And he's still well ahead of Kenny Gainwell. On the other side, we got our answer. Both. Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. And it looked like the smart thing happened. It wasn't we move Puka Nacua, he stays, and Cooper Kupp just takes over Van Jefferson's role. 8 for 118, 12 targets, look like his vintage self, but Puka Nacua, 7 for 71 and a touchdown on 11 targets. And honestly, with those two guys, Tutu Atwell is going to be hard for him to sustain value. Same thing with Tyler Higbee. Kyron Williams came back to the pack a little bit this week, but I'm not overly concerned there. 13 for 53 on the ground. That's a good Eagles run defense. Better days will be ahead for him. On to Cincinnati and Arizona. I had said, and of course, Cincinnati winning 34-20, that this, if it didn't happen this week for Burrow, it wasn't going to happen. Well, it happened. 317 and 3, and all three go to Ja'Marr Chase, a career best, a Cincinnati Bengals franchise record, 15 receptions, 192 and 3 on 19 targets. And with no T. Higgins, it was actually Trenton Irwin, who was second on the team in targets with 10, not Tyler Boyd. He went 8 for 60. Tyler Boyd just 3 for 39. Another inefficient day out of Joe Mixon. It's volume. It's not efficient, but that's what we're going to get this season. Josh Dobbs, his string of good performances came to an end here. Wasn't his best outing, 166 and 2, but he did throw two picks here. The two touchdowns. Marquise Brown, he's like the ultimate wide receiver too. He's putting up just classic wide receiver two numbers, 4 for 61 and a score on 10 targets. And then Zach Ertz got in the end zone if you used him. It was not a great day from a volume standpoint. Of course, the big story here, though, James Conner banged up with a knee issue, so we saw Amari DiMercato come in, 10 for 45 and a score for DiMercato on the ground, caught a ball for 12 yards. The TCU product was Kendre Miller's backup last year. Pretty solid player. If he has to get some run here, he'd be at least a flex option. No updates on Connor just yet. I'll talk about that more tomorrow. Moving on to the Jets and the Broncos. And I had it right, baby. The Jets taking this down 31-21. Breece Hall. He is spectacular. He went 22 for 177 and 1. He joins Adrian Peterson as the only player since 1991 with 360-plus yard rushes within his first 12 career games. Over that span, he averages 6.34 yards per carry. That is the most in a 12-game span to start a career since 1970 with a minimum of 12 rushes per game. Career high here with those 22 rushing attempts. The training wheels are off. Dalvin Cook, he played 10 snaps in this game. That's a lot of money per snap. Zach Wilson, not spectacular, but another, like, not bad outing. 199, no passing scores, but he completed 73% of his passes. He does not look that bad. And that's good for Garrett Wilson, even though this wasn't a great game for fantasy purposes. I also think Russell Wilson finally looking like himself. Again, not big fantasy numbers, 196 and 2, but what I really like here is we're seeing Russ run 7 for 49 on the ground. That's very important. Jaleel McLaughlin, 9 for 68 on the ground, caught three balls for 21 yards and a score. Now, Perine wasn't bad as a pass catcher. 4 for 73, that's very good. And he ran six times for 22 yards. Even when Javonte Williams is back, the genie is out of the bottle on Jaleel McLaughlin, and they're going to keep using him. There's no doubt about it. So keep that in mind if you happen to pick him up. Kansas City, Minnesota, the Kansas City Chiefs winning this 27-20. The wide receivers continuing to be frustrating. Ready? Marquez Valdez-Scantling, 28 routes run. Sky Moore, 22. Justin Watson, 22. Kadarius Toney, 17. Rashi Rice, 10. Justin Ross, 6. And with 6 routes, Justin Ross was trending on Twitter. 2 for 28. Whoopity-doo. Until one of these guys really separates themselves, we cannot use any of them. So it's still Travis Kelce, who looks like he has a low ankle sprain. He came back in the game after it looked a little dicey there. 10 for 67 and a touchdown. He caught the touchdown after coming back. It's him. It's Pacheco, 16 for 55. Meh, but ran for a touchdown. Okay, I'll take it. And Mahomes, 281 and 2. It was a pretty good performance for Mahomes. They just spread the ball around and kind of didn't really have to throttle the Vikings. Like, the score made it look a little closer than what it really was. Justin Jefferson banged up with a hammy. We're still awaiting further information here. Jordan Addison got in the end zone, 6 for 64 on 9 targets, 9 targets for KJ Osborne, 5 for 49. If Jefferson misses time, Osborne will be relevant. So we'll talk about him tomorrow. Alexander Mattison kind of makes a mistake every week. Now, he scored as a receiver. It was not the greatest game, but the question is, will the team eventually move Cam Akers into a larger role? Cam Akers has not looked particularly impressive, by the way, since coming over to the Vikings, but Madison makes mistakes every week. So we shall see. All right, let's round it out with 42-10 game on Sunday Night Football. The 49ers trouncing the Dallas Cowboys. There is not much to be said here on the Dallas side. They ran into a team that is a Super Bowl favorite for a reason. And I do think next week is going to be better. They get to face the Chargers. This is a great buy low opportunity on Tony Pollard and on CeeDee Lamb. I'm going to buy low on those guys. If I could trade on the cheap, I'm going to do it. On the other side, Brock Purdy, 252-4. Three of those going to George Kittle. Like I said, one of them was on that razzle dazzle. Happy birthday, George Kittle. It's his 30th birthday today. 3 for 67 and 3 touchdowns for him. That'll do. And guess what? Another game where they really don't have to use Deebo Samuel. And he was fine. 3 for 55, ran 5 times for 30 yards. Brandon Ayuk, 4 for 58. They didn't have to use these guys, so don't freak out if they're on your rosters. Even McCaffrey didn't play in the fourth quarter. 19 for 51 and a touchdown, another touchdown for him. That was his 14th consecutive game, including the postseason, with a touchdown. Longest since Emmitt Smith, that type of streak, since 1995. Wow, right there. But Jordan Mason honestly looked pretty good in relief duty. 10 for 69 and a touchdown for Jordan Mason. Maybe, just maybe, he ends up being a backup. And maybe, just maybe, players can be traded. San Francisco has traded backup running backs before. Elijah Mitchell, I'm looking at you. Who knows? But anyway, that ties a bow on it for today. Like I said, tomorrow I will be back, and I will be talking waivers. Not the best waiver week, but every week there's opportunity, baby. In the meantime, FTNFantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. I will catch you on the flip side for another edition of the pod. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out. 10% off. If you're already a subscriber at FTN Fantasy, though, and you want to get in it daily, just I think you should have got an email about that. But if not, you can always hit up our customer service. We have a discounted upgrade for existing subscribers. All right, at Jeff Ratcliffe on Twitter. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the football. And I'll catch you on Monday for the biggest takeaways. I'm Jeff Ratcliffe, and I'm out.